welcome to another episode of Rags to Riches, the Refined Mind. I'm your host, Bi-Ami, and I am back with
Natalia.
Diana.
So we was having some really interesting conversation. Debbie had to leave us, so I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. But I think one of the things that I guess we have in common is the family aspect, or like the family background, especially with like our parents and like how we was raised up. And I know earlier you mentioned about the financial aspect and how kind of, I don't know, do you feel like your mum, what she went through, she kind of
offloaded?
Yeah,
unintentionally.
Like unintentionally, yeah. Because I feel like a lot of it is unintentional. Like, they just do what they have to do.
Yeah.
And that self-awareness might not be there. Maybe even the way they speak to us sometimes. Mm. Growing up, like, in an African household, you're not allowed to answer back, you're not allowed to talk back. And then you realise that when you get older, that communication, like, you struggle with communication because you're like...
Talk.
Yeah.
Like, even with like people speaking on the side, like if we're all talking and you ask a personal question, I kind of zone out because you're not supposed to listen to other people's conversations when they're talking. Yeah, so
like
those little habits.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like, you don't realize that, like, it's the smallest of things. Like, it builds up because it frames you.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And then you grow up to become this person that you're learning about.
Yeah.
And then you have to unlearn.
True.
Like, as life goes on.
And then relearn.
So yeah, so tell us, I don't know, whichever one you want to go to, like, a little bit about your past, kind of your relationship. I know you mentioned about you didn't...
My mom.
Your mom, yeah.
Well, I think my mom, my parents divorced, I think, from what I know, I think I was about less than a year old or something like that.
Okay.
So I grew up with my grandma, my maternal grandparents. So then my mom remarried. I've got two younger siblings. So I think there's about three, four years difference between me and my younger sister. But then because I grew up with my grandma, I got to see my mom over the weekends.
Okay.
So my mom would come and visit with her husband.
Oh, wow.
And they go back to their house.
That's interesting.
Right?
That's interesting.
So that's how our life was like. So then she'll come over, she'll come and visit, and then they go back.
Why was
you had
it,
custody
why,
of your mom.
Why was it like that? Yeah.
Well, I think... you know, you'll know me for years. I'm always like one of those people that just... zone out. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I think I kind of got to a point where my take on my parents, it was like, probably it was for the best why they were not together.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would have made each other's lives miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I wasn't upset with my dad. I wasn't upset with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being African background, you don't really think much about your stepdad. That's your dad. You don't think into it.
You don't
feel into it. Or anything. It's just dad.
He
comes around,
yeah.
Hi, dad. You know what I'm saying? So it was just the way of life.
Yeah.
But then of course, as I say, because my mom was, she was there, but it was more like she wasn't my mom.
Yeah.
She was someone else's mom.
So
you know what I mean? So we didn't really have a relationship.
Yeah.
And my mom was a very strict woman.
Mm.
It's almost like I say, so much, she was like, I'm like my mom.
Mm.
But
really?
My mom was on a higher level.
Of the extreme.
Right.
So what's your background?
I'm Zimbabwean.
From Ghana.
Do you feel like that culture aspect, like, because she was strict, do you feel like that's...
I don't think it was anything. I always think the way parents are, I don't think it's to do with culture at all.
Mm.
I just think it's the way people are, because my family is not really conk African, if that makes
sense.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that word in English.
Conk.
Even the way she did it, conk. The way she did it, conk.
It's like, they're not like that. My family's well traveled as well.
Yeah.
Like, my grandfather, my grandfather has been worked for Mercedes-Benz, like, since the, God knows, probably, I knew from the 80s, way before the 80s, and he was based in Botswana. My grandmother worked for NGOs, so she was constantly traveling around the world.
So
my family had literally people, different kind of careers and all sorts of things. So we were more or less like the city kind of life.
Yes.
So our house is English and Shona. So it wasn't just, you know, so we all still speak Shona mixed with English.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like on the middle class kind of life. So,
yeah.
You know, so it wasn't really traditional. My granddad was very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But so we were traditional in terms of if we have to, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are on this other side of town.
You can,
either way, it was fine. So it was never like that. So I don't think it's the way we were raised. It wasn't to do with culture per se.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's just the way, like we were saying before, people discipline the children as you think. You think this is
what
I want out of my children.
Yeah.
And then, but then you just don't know how to go about it.
I think culture does have a little bit to play with it, though. Culture, traditions, how they were brought up by their parents as well. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like bring that element and aspect. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my parents are first generation immigrants. Yeah. So like they literally came. I don't even think they even had time to even learn our culture because they were busy surviving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As I was saying earlier, like my mom, when she came and even when she had us, she didn't have her papers. Mm-hmm. So she was literally just like on the run all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Like there were times where we had to, this is where I like really rate my stepfather. I have a very interesting relationship with him, but I do rate him. Mm. And like they really like kept it together. Mm. Like we didn't really feel like a disconnect from my mother. We understood what was happening.
Yeah.
But there were times where my mom would have to go into hiding for like a few days or a few weeks. And then, you know, we'll go and stay over at someone's house from church, like a church member's house, and be there. And then also you have the aspect of my real father as well. When she came to the country, so imagine you come, you know, she came thinking that maybe her brothers, I think people just have like a different idea of what it's going to be like
when you come here. Yeah.
And you know, when you have like family members here already, you think that maybe your family members will help with like, you know, you setting you up. It was like a complete opposite.
Everybody had their own struggle.
My mom was left out here in these streets, honey. Mm-hmm. Like, so she really, and obviously I understand it now.
Yeah.
Because the trauma that I experienced from my mother, obviously it didn't come from, I felt like my mom didn't like me.
Really?
It was rough. I really felt like she didn't like me. We didn't have a good relationship, especially when I got to my teens.
Yeah.
There was no understanding there. But as I'm an adult now, you know, you learn a little bit more about what they're going through and you're just like, right, I can only imagine
what
it was like. And then you have to
immigration, like, constantly. Yeah. Did she work then, or what was...
She was
What was the life like as an immigrant? Like, for, I know, obviously, you're speaking on her behalf, but from what you experienced?
If I'm going to be honest, like the past from when I was younger is very fragmented.
Okay.
And that's just due to trauma.
That's so what I was going to say. Things, like, that's
I can't pick up from memory.
Yeah.
But from what I do remember, for her, she was just literally surviving. I remember some of the things that she's told us was like, you know, she came, she tried to like, I think you had to have an identification card or something like that. And she was staying with her brother at the time and his wife. For some reason just didn't like her. Mm-hmm. So when it came in the post, and I think she needed that for work, when it came in the post, it didn't tell her it had arrived.
Oh, wow.
And she had just found it.
Oh, gosh.
She grew up with my biological father, who he was in the army in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he suffered with PTSD and he was very violent. So he abused her, he abused me,
really?
He cheated on her. Like he just used to beat her.
Oh my gosh. Lot.
So you can imagine her just going through all of that.
Yeah, and then raising a child.
And then raising a child. Me and my sister, I've got three other siblings. I'm the oldest of all of them girls. And there was like me and Melinda at the time. And there's a year between us. And I think she was just going through a lot. My grandma was literally like, send us both back.
Yeah.
My mom just sent one of us back and kept me.
Yeah.
And so that again introduces a whole other dynamic with the family.
Do you feel like when she didn't send you back as well?
Yeah.
Like, how did that affect you?
That didn't affect me. Most of the things I think I would have grown up okay.
Yeah.
I think most of the trauma that I had suffered is when I was, and that has affected me today, if I be honest, is in my teens, so like my early 20s. Mm. It didn't affect me because I wasn't really confronted with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So it only started to affect the dynamic in terms of like Melinda, my sister, being sent back.
Mm-hmm.
It affected me when she came to the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when she came,
relationship
there was all
different.
That, like, yeah. There was, I was so excited to see her, but she had resentment.
Okay.
Do you get what I mean?
But she wasn't with the parents.
She wasn't with the parents, but she had a very cushy life.
So you're
Ghana.
Like, why are you resentful?
And I was so excited when she came because she came just at like year seven. So I think that was a good year for her to like come and start school and stuff. But she had this resentment towards me in particular. And I don't know. So from there,
just the relationship.
The relationship, you know, I kept trying.
I can relate.
Yeah.
Siblings, I can relate. I think it's like I said, because my mom would come over to our house and then goes back to her house with her children.
With her children,
And I think we were having a conversation with my sisters about my mom's tombstone. So it's kind of dilapidated, you need redoing. So after certain years, you have to kind of redo things and stuff like that. So we're having a conversation. And one of my sisters goes, we're airing out our business, aren't we?
I know.
should we give them names?
I was like,
oh, my sister was... So my sister was talking about like, oh, you know, we need to pay this, we need to do this. And then she wanted it to be done before my mom's birthday.
Yeah.
And my mom's 23rd of December. I'm 22nd of December. Oh, my daughter is the 11th of December. And there's Christmas. Right?
Yeah.
So then you were saying you want
financial
this to be done.
Financial implications, because those things ain't cheap.
Right? So you were saying you want these things to be done before her birthday. And I'm thinking, I have a child who has a birthday and a Christmas to celebrate first before we can do this. We can do this later on.
Yeah.
But why can't you? She is your mom. And at one point I stepped up and said, she was your mother.
Ooh.
She lived with you. She did not live with me. I was an orphan before my mother was dead.
Wow. That
so then
sad.
Because...
Whew, that is sad.
You know, because children don't really... Like you're saying, she was on the other side of town. She's enjoying life, but she did not even know what you were going through.
Yeah.
You could have swapped places with Melinda in a heartbeat, but they don't understand.
Yeah.
We had to be adults before they were adults.
Yeah.
Right? My mom passed when I was 17.
Yeah.
We had to be adults. And then they behave as if like
the
we owe them something. Like I owe you something. I don't owe you anything, honey.
Yeah.
I'm just a child just as much as you are.
Yeah.
So can we treat each other like siblings?
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
work at this relationship together. Because you lost parents, so did I.
Yeah.
Right? Because we lost our mom and then our stepdad, my dad, well, our dad, like a year and a half later.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That's rough.
So
that's rough.
We've lost a lot.
Hmm.
But then it's not just you.
Yeah.
We lost something. We did. We both did. But then it all comes with maturity.
Yeah. And how did you... What was the relationship like for a long time? Did you, like, have to work at it to be close? Are you close
with my
now?
Sisters?
Yeah. Or are you...
Honey, we're working in this relationship.
It's a work in progress.
It is. Not linear.
It's... Unfortunately, it's, gosh,
and
it's a lot. It's a lot of death.
Well.
Exactly, it's
a lot
of death.
You're the oldest sibling. Your parent and your siblings treat you like you're their
the
mom.
Yeah,
I literally had to be like, listen.
I'm your mom. You want me to rescue you? I'm a damsel in distress. I need somebody
That's
to do
true.
That to me. Right.
But now, also extending that grace to them as well.
Exactly.
But it takes time, I think, to get to that point where you step into grace and patience and understanding that okay there might be a reason why they're acting like this but you're still having to go through that trauma so it's like why do I have to be the strong one all the time?
God
sometimes
put us
it gets
for a
like
reason,
that.
No but it is true.
It's
why
like,
do I
don't
want to
be
strong this? Can you pick me up like for real?
Thank
but it's
you.
Like it's actually unreasonable I feel maybe to ask your younger siblings to kind of fit into shoes that you shouldn't have even been put
then
into yourself.
I don't know.
For me, I think for us, it was a wake-up call because, like, you know, my brother died last year. It's when he passed on, that's when we started realizing how life is so feeble.
Mm.
Like, we could be talking like this.
Yep.
Tomorrow
is a
first,
different story.
Right?
But you think about it,
so we started saying
life is fleeting.
You know what, whether you call me or you don't call me, I'm gonna check on you.
Yeah.
I don't care what your take is on this relationship.
Yeah.
I'll do my part.
Yeah.
Check on you once in a while. Are you alright? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might need something else different, but I'll just do what I can.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the decision. In fact, my younger sister's like, you know what guys, I don't care. I'm just going to call. I'll call and just say hi.
Yeah.
You know, if you have been quiet. So normally just text, hey, it's been a while. You know, just checking in on one another.
Absolutely.
And I think like, and for me, I feel like this is why this is such a special time. Like, because we've been in each other's life for like so long.
Oh,
we've gone through so much.
We've grown.
Girl. We've gone through so much. When you think like, it's almost like, you know when God gives you like chances after chances after chances and it's him that kind of brings us together in his own special way.
Yeah.
And it's like, we could be going through something like full just like that.
Yeah.
And then to realize that, rah, like we're still standing.
Yeah.
Just about.
Thank God for Jesus.
It's like, it's the grace. Like you literally like, rah, because you know, there was a year where like there's so much deaths, like people just like dying, and it could be young people. It's not even just old people dying anymore.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
I actually like sit down sometimes and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you hear the news that like maybe this group of friends or this community lost one of their friends
at
similar age. And I'm like, rah.
They just took me back like, to Kunle.
Oh, girl.
God.
That was hard.
At times.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah. But I'm grateful that, you know.
We're alive. Thank God for life. And the process and the chapters that we are turning every other day, you know. Creating new chapters in life, so yes.
Yeah. I feel emotional.
I know.
So you, earlier you were saying that you kind of built your relationship with your mum after she died.
Mm.
How was that? Did you carry like some guilt or did you carry like, I wish, how was that?
I mean, almost like every other child, you would want your parents to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the fact that they have other children other than you, and they're with those children, and you're not there. You want to be there. You want your mom. Like, you know what I mean?
You've gone through a lot.
You've gone through a lot.
You have gone through a lot. And I know sometimes like you have that feeling like you just want mom. Like, you just want your mom.
You just want your mother to just be there and just hug you. Sometimes, you know, when you're having a conversation like this, we can be talking about how difficult life is. And then your friends will tell you something. Oh, yeah. But when your mom says, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
It's just a different.
It's emotional.
It hits differently.
You know what I'm saying? It's a different, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But never had to go through those things.
Yeah.
And I think probably that's why I'm the way I am with my daughter. Because I'm just like, I don't want you to go through life without knowing that I'm there.
Yeah.
And now she's like a handbag now.
Trying to get under your skin.
Trust me. But I made a choice. That's what I wanted to do. Because I remember, you know, when people said, oh, maybe why don't you work night shifts? Night shifts make more money and all of this. And I thought, no.
You'll miss out.
That's the thing. Because there's just this point, probably until children are about 12 years old, before they start getting into teenagers, when they don't even want hugs from you anymore.
Yeah.
There's this moment that I don't want to miss out on.
Yeah.
The moment when I think it's the most important part of any child, when they're still developing, getting to know everything. I don't want my child learning things from anybody else.
Yeah.
They have to learn stuff from me.
They need the affection.
You know what I mean? They have to learn from me. Why are they learning it from somebody else's house?
Yeah.
There's a different on, oh, we're going to Auntie J, we're going to Auntie D's, we're going to Auntie Deb's. There's a different.
Yeah.
You lay foundation for your children. Don't let anybody else lay foundation for your children.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think it reminded me, like, because with my daughter, she stays with me like quite a lot, like sleeping together. And there's a time where I was just like, oh gosh, like I just don't have a break. I think someone was just like, it'll get to a point where she's gonna be like, can you?
This won't be sleeping like this.
Ah,
grab my neck.
Like literally, even this morning, she was just like, can I have like a cuddle? I didn't have my cuddle. I'm thinking, But then I was like, because then someone reminded me, like, they will get to a point where
they don't want those cuddles.
They don't want it. So I was like, okay, you know what? Time is going, but I'm going to give you that cuddle.
Yeah.
Because I think as you get older, you start to look at what you lacked maybe.
Yeah.
And then you don't want them to experience that.
True.
Like, with affection, I didn't think I was a very affectionate person. Like, I never used to say, I love you.
I never used to.
Sorry. I love you. Thank you.
Oh, how times have changed.
Right? Have a child and all.
I used to be like, Jay, I love you.
I'd be like,
thank you.
In my heart, I'm saying it.
Yeah.
But not out loud.
Not out loud, no. And, but I learned to be affectionate. Like, I learned that because I don't want her to experience any of those. You can't stop someone's life journey how it's meant to be because you have to experience certain things and we can't be their savior but we can prepare them for it, like you say, we can lay the foundation, like it's okay to be affectionate, it's okay to say sorry like when you've done wrong because as parents, maybe like as younger children, we haven't seen our parents be affectionate or even say sorry to each other or and you realize that I struggled even in relationships, like the stubbornness, where did that stubbornness come from? Like, do you get what I mean?
I even had to say, when, you know, when you've done something, you've told your child off over something, and then you realize that you were wrong. Yeah. I've had to get this mom. I'm sorry I said that earlier on.
Yeah.
Because like I said, that's one of those things that you find out parents saying sorry to your child. It is important for your children to know that you can make mistakes, can make errors as well. Exactly. We are not perfect because they look at us thinking we're the gods.
Yeah.
But I'm like, honey.
It's true. That's a good point as well.
G will tell you this, mom, just breathe, mom. Just
breathe. Aw, so sweet.
Right? An 8-year-old telling me to breathe.
I know. But it's so true though, because yeah, parents don't often show that, like, even if they do something wrong, they will never.
I'm just literally playing scenarios in my mind where like my stepfather will not say sorry. He will literally sit there, everyone's looking at him like, this is your opportune time
to say but sorry. Yeah,
and we actually do learn that.
Yeah,
and then we carry in relationships.
Yeah,
I think I've learned a lot about myself in relationships.
Yeah, because that's when it comes out.
Yeah,
because it's like those different parts of you. It's like
you're exposed.
You're confronted with it.
Yeah, and even when he was like saying that, you know, you stopped and gave Adara the affection. It's that intentionality.
Yeah,
that life sometimes is not just us just like fumbling through it. We actually have to intentionally
make those moments. We have morning cuddles. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
We have to. You almost like, you haven't given me a cuddle today. I haven't.
It's making the time to do it. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm trying to stop this tear. I'm there like, can I get a
tissue? Girl, I held up.
Because you know when it starts
you just
coming.
Went onto the wave and you had to kind of diffuse and come
back. No, like, oh, honestly. And breathe. You know, like, that's why sometimes it's hard to go into that place of worship.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because when it starts coming
flowing
out, it's like not today.
I don't know
like,
what you're on about, right? I'm ready for the tears.
No,
every time
it's too much.
I'm getting my hair done.
Oh my God, I can't worship without crying. It's just literally,
it's natural. Listen,
I'm literally about to go in, even at church sometimes. You know, you're on a timer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I have to hold myself, because if not, I'm going in, I'm crying, I'm wailing.
We went to, there's a conference that Debs went to, Passion, I think it's called Passion.
Mm.
It was in London. So she invited me over and stuff, because she was, Davina was there. Mm. Who else was there? She was Davina,
I was thinking about her the other day.
Oh, wow.
I think it's Sam's sister.
Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie was there, and then Davina was there, and then Zamara came as well.
Yeah.
So then, so we were all there. So we sit. I think I came in just about 5 minutes before starting time, and worship had started. And then there's this person that kept on going back and forth. You know, like when you're in the pews, I'm like, listen, I just want to serenade in this moment, right?
Oh my gosh.
So then tears are already coming down. As you know, it doesn't take that much anyway. And then this person, so Debs had to tap me because this person wanted to pass by. So I'm telling you, now, tears are just streaming down my face. Debs is like, you just only been here for 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like, it's like one of those things. It's like, even you may go, ask you may go to tell you that. Getting my hair done. Getting my hair done, all of a sudden, I'm like, stop. It's time to wash
it.
I miss those moments. See, those are the moments that I like. You know, when God just moves, when I'm getting my hair done, I'm in the kitchen cooking and I'm cleaning, I'm just,
I
don't know. I feel like there's just so much bottled up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he finds a way to just break you.
Mm.
And sometimes it's like, it's the vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't right now.
Yeah.
You know what it right was? Now. Yeah, it's just like, not right now. Yeah. It's like, because I think you don't want to, for me, I think I don't want to like be broken and I have to pick myself. And then it's like, it's that constant routine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's part of the process.
Yeah. True. I think my journey with the Lord came a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really worry about my outward.
Yeah.
You know, extremely whatever, who's around
because
me,
you had that relationship intimately.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, it's almost as if like, it's just, a relationship with one.
Yeah.
An audience of one, rather. An audience of one. So whatever is happening there, I'm the one that'll be having an ugly cry.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter what's going on around me, because at that moment, because I've never known anything else.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. Growing up, he has always been there for me.
Yeah.
You know, when no one else was there, that's how it has always been. I've never had a plan B in life.
Yeah.
He has always been there.
You've always it's said always that. Been, you know, yeah. I've just never had always, a plan B.
There's always been, if you don't get me, who is going to get me?
Yeah.
If you don't do this for me, who'll do it?
Yeah.
Because there's never been anybody else.
Yeah.
So, child, we'll cry.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Just thinking about Jesus, man.
Where do you feel like, or do you feel like you received like your healing through everything that you've been through, and what were those healing moments? Because I'm sure that there's so much like different parts of your life.
There's a lot, but I think that the one of the moments I remember is that time when I said I realized that I loved my mom 10 years after she had died. I forgave her for what I thought I was angry with her, because then I understood life a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things, I think I remember even going through that time, I think that's the time when I probably read the Bible from the beginning to the end. It's during that period, I think that's when God was dealing with a lot of things in my heart. And there was one of the revelation I got, that there's some things that I'll heal, there's some things I'll never explain. So I don't really ask for explanation.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need an explanation, especially when you're going through something. But like, then when you come out of it, you can never really ask the why. He was just there with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, you know, when you worship, not because you want him to do something for you, you just worship out of the beauty of just who he is.
Yeah.
I learned just to say, I rest in you.
Yeah.
Yes, I've got things that I'm like, God, can you not do this right now?
Mm-hmm.
But it's during that period. So that's when I think most of my healing came around about this. Probably I was like in my like late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started, you know,
to receive
the healing of, you know, probably some of the most painful areas of my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think for me, my understanding is just healing isn't linear.
Mm.
And so I feel like for most of my journey, I think it's just the acceptance that it's pretty similar to what you said, just the acceptance that, like, for example, if it's in a relationship, or like even with like the trauma I faced from my family, and thinking that I need an apology or an acknowledgement from my parents, and just accepting that, you know, they're never, maybe they will never change. They're like in their 60s, their 50s, they've got the traditions,
yeah.
And I'm wanting them to change, or like, you know, acknowledge what I've gone through at their hand. But I think God really spoke to me and was just like, if you're not gonna, like, sometimes you just have to like accept and just forgive and let it go.
Forgive for yourself.
It's for yourself.
For yourself.
And be free.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, when I accepted at each point, I received my healing. I was free.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just acceptance no matter what it is. And God has always been so gracious. Like, God is just so good to me.
Mm.
And, I feel like with most things that I do go through, so.
Yeah.
I'll take a minute. Take a minute. He even shows me, so whether I'm conscious of it in the moment that it happens or not, I always have a forewarning from God.
Yeah.
Even with the health.
Yeah.
With the miscarriages, all of those things, God has actually shown me, like, baby,
this is
about to come.
Yeah.
And he has held my hand through it.
Yeah.
And I believe that if God does show me, he's going to take me through it.
Yeah.
And I will be okay. I always know I'll be okay. Like, that's your story. That's your statistic.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not going to look like that, because God's got me. And so I'm okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Hold a thought on that. I'm okay, because we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
Yeah, so guys, it's it's quite a... I think we're going to bring tissues next time. thank you so much for this episode. There's going to be more, so make sure that you tune into the next episode. Thanks.